on the cross that day, how that affected us personally, and of course, along with that, from the death of Jesus Christ, not only can we remember the past and what He's done, but He works in our lives right now as a result of His shed blood on the cross, and we have a future, an inheritance in heaven with God Himself as a result of Christ shed blood on the cross. And this morning, I actually asked John and Brooke a little over a month ago to do this, knowing that they were going to be really, really busy with their upcoming move. So I figured if I asked them early enough, they wouldn't be thinking of that. And they would be willing to share. So I'm just thrilled that they would take the time to minister to us through their testimony this morning in particular, as next Sunday is going to be their last Sunday with us before they go back to Bible school. But let's just pray real quick for them, and then I'll turn the time over to them. Father in heaven, again, we just thank You for this morning. Thank You for Your working in our lives, Lord, that You would see fit to use such wretched people as we are in this world, and to Your glory is just unbelievable to me. And Lord God, we look forward to eternity with You. And Lord, I just pray that You'd give John and Brooke again just confidence and boldness in You as they share their testimony this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I was telling Jackie this morning that when Craig asked us a month or two ago, I was ecstatic and thought that would be great. I have no problem with that. And I just thought it was a really great idea till this morning. I thought that was just the worst idea we've ever had. I am already, people were being sentimental this morning, and I just had to tell them to stop. You have to wait until the testimonies are done and I can spit it out. Then we can be emotional, but I am sure that I am not going to last. It's just fair warning. I grew up in a divided family. My mother was a believer. My father was not a believer at the time. And so because of that, we went to church on a very semi-regular basis. We were, consistent for a while and then pretty consistently not going for a while and then consistent for a while. And so I did grow up in church and with my mother as a strong believer. So I did hear the gospel a lot, but I did not understand it. Probably until about 1995, we had just moved out here, and we went to go visit my grandparents, who at the time were living in Arizona, and Jordan and I were both out there, and we went to church with them on Sunday, and the pastor was giving the gospel message and just talking about how Jesus had died for me and for my sins and to save me, and he talked a lot about heaven and hell, and that was the day that I finally understood the reality of heaven and of hell. And most kids who get saved young get saved because they are afraid of hell, and rightfully so. That was not the case with me. I didn't even really think about hell a whole lot for many years even. I just knew that I wanted to be in heaven with Him, and that was exciting to me, and that is what led me to placing my faith in Jesus Christ and just asking Him to just save me from my sinfulness so that I could be as perfect as He was and live with Him in heaven eternally. So that is when I was saved. I don't think, it was pretty young. I think I was 11 or 10, and you don't fully understand what that means quite that early on. A couple years later, I got it a little more, and CMR, this will be the first mention, but definitely the not last mention of a CMR. I will talk about it a lot today. That is Cedar Mountain Retreat, the Bible camp that we attend every summer, and they do baptismals every year, and it was that year that I decided that I wanted to be baptized. I started to understand just a little more about what Jesus really did for me, and I was baptized that year at camp, and even after that, it still was a couple years before I really, really got it, that I just understood what all this meant to me. it was watching those that were older than me, just by a couple years, at CMR, who got to counsel and were there for 5 weeks out of the summer and just spending their entire summers doing that and witnessing to children and, you know, just spending their time serving the Lord, that I really wanted that. I desired to be like them. I desired to be used like that. And the Lord really used that in my life in just helping me slowly understand more and more and grow and change and give my life over to Him more and more, because I wanted that goal. I wanted to achieve that. And I remember when they did finally ask me to go to leadership camp my first year, I was so excited. And then the first year that I got to counsel, and counseling overall was just an amazing experience for me. I just finally understood. It gave me my first taste of ministry, that I could witness to people, that I could lead people to the Lord. And here it goes. That understanding that God not only could use me, but that He wanted to use me, was just an experience that I'll never forget. Those years of my life were incredible, and just really gave me a big picture of what God wanted for me in my life. And there was a summer, John kind of talked about this morning in Sunday school, but a summer we had a speaker come to camp, and one of his challenges that he gave on the last night, the last chapel that he spoke at, was anything, anytime, anywhere. And it was at that moment that I knew that I wanted that for my life. I wanted to do anything He wanted me to, any time that He wanted me to, in anywhere that He wanted me to. And so anyway, I made that commitment to Him that night, along with many of my friends, collectively together. And that was the night I got it. I understood what God's great plan was. The other great thing about CMR, since where I met John, we met when we were 12 years old, and we just continued to stay good friends over the years and keep in contact, but mostly just see each other at camp every summer. And then at age 16, we started dating, and just a couple years after that, we got married. And we went to 1 year of Frontier before we got married. We came home, got married over the summer, and then went back as a married student couple. And both of those years to me were incredible, for completely different reasons. The first one was so much Bible knowledge that it was just astounding to me just how much could be revealed to you being in the Lord's Word day in and day out, all day long in class, studying afterwards your own devotions, and to be surrounded by believers everywhere, because it's just so uncommon here. And I learned so much that first year. The second year when we went back as married students was neat in a whole different respect. It was me and John away from everything, away from our family, everything we were used to, and by ourselves as a married couple, and surrounded with tremendous examples of what a married couple should look like in the Lord. And that was, I think we learned way more that year out of class than we did in class. It was just a neat year for us. When we left Frontier, we came back here, and I have grown up in Southland Bible Church in St. George, Utah. That is my home church, my family. And when we got back, we decided that we felt the Lord calling us to come to River Valley. And that was a hard move for us because, you know, as you guys know, your church family is just so important to you. They are the ones that molded you through all the years, through encouragement, discipleship, examples, and to leave there was really hard for me. But it was just amazing how once we committed to that, because we felt that, like, that's what the Lord wanted for us, how easy it became over the years, and just how much we knew that this is where the Lord wanted us. Coming down here, we were just able to serve the Lord in just so many different areas. And we have just made some of the best friends that we could ever ask for. And the God has just used us so much, but more importantly, He, in using us, has just molded us even more. And I just so believe that my biggest years of growth and times of growth have come when the Lord has asked me to serve Him. And when I've had to be out of my comfort zone, like singing into a microphone and teaching a women's Bible study who were all older than I was. I was used to teaching kids, but that was a whole new step for me. But those are my biggest areas of growth where God challenges me, and I have to step back and completely rely on Him and let Him work and not me. About a year ago, I'm sure John will talk about this part a lot, we just really felt the Lord making us a little uncomfortable and uncontent in where we were. And He started prodding us, and we knew that something was coming, but we just didn't know what was coming. And through many, many hours of prayer, and just such great conversations with people that we trust, people that just gave us such wise counsel, we, after a couple of months, we decided that it was back to Frontier that He was leading us. And that whole experience for us was just neat, because it was amazing that as we would talk to people about kind of what our idea was, how they had already been praying for us and already had, most of them, I think, foresaw it coming even before we did. We didn't have any idea, and we just would have people from everywhere just saying, oh, yeah, we saw that coming. No, yeah, no, we've been praying for you. And people that we didn't even know had told us that they had been praying for us. We thought, we don't even know who you are. But thank you. but so it was just neat to see, you know, it's things like that that help you understand that God did orchestrate it, and that that you will be in the center of His will by following that. So Frontier is where we are headed now. When you get done counseling at CMR, they have a little tradition. They have what they have named lovingly the Counselor Tree, and it is a tree that is back behind the kitchen in the midst of all other trees. There's this one tree that every year the counselors who have committed and have served there, the ones it's your last year, you get to carve your initials into that tree, kind of like we talked about with, you know, and we've been talking about so much through Joshua, as a memorial and a reminder for us. And you tend to go do it all together at the same time, all of those who will be leaving that year, as a reminder to us and as a commitment to what we have done and what we would like to continue doing. And while we were there, I had my Bible with me, and we were looking for verses, maybe a verse that we could theme as our group verse that we would like to take on with us. And I found this verse. It's 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor for the Lord is not in vain." And that was such a great verse for that moment, and became my life verse. Just such a neat verse, especially in here, in this, our town, and our area, where we are kind of far in between. We are not the majority here, and when you take steps out for the Lord, there is definite criticism and stuff that comes along with that, and just understanding that I just want to stand firm my entire life and always, 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 above anything else, give myself fully to the work of the Lord, knowing that my labor for Him is not in vain, and that everything that I'm doing for Him is just building up treasures in heaven and things that I can just hand back to Him when I get there. And it's just become my favorite verse of all time. And I refer back to it often when it gets a little hard to stand firm. So we are headed out, and we are nervous, and we are scared, and we are really sad. We are so happy and so excited, and most of all, we are just confident in the Lord and that He is going to direct us wherever it is that we need to go because we don't know where we're going. headed off somewhere, but we are confident in the Lord that He will reveal to that to us in His own time. But good luck.
Well, I grew up in a home that didn't know the Lord. My family was very religious, but none of us knew the Lord as our personal Savior. And we never read out of the Bible. Actually, all the kids, we all had our own individual Bibles, but it was never read. We didn't know who the Jesus of the Bible was. But fortunately, my dad had a coworker that he worked with that was a believer, and this coworker cared for my dad, and he cared for our family, and he witnessed to my dad every day at work, and through that, my dad found the Jesus of the Bible, and he was the first of our family to come and know the Lord. Shortly after that, my mother, through the witness of my dad, came to know the Lord as well. And shortly after that, we quit attending our current church, and we started looking for a church that taught the Bible. And as a 12-year-old, that was cool. We didn't have to go to church anymore. We were just doing our own thing. But then the Lord brought Richfield Bible Church to my parents' attention, and we started attending there. And Richfield back then was pastored by Dominic Ganino. And that is where I first heard and understood what Jesus had done for me. Dom Ganino, he gave the salvation message, and I don't exactly remember if it was a fear of hell or just wanting to be in heaven with the Lord. But later that week, after having my parents clarify a little bit for me, I also came to know Jesus as my personal Savior, and that was back in August of 97. Then the Lord brought CMR into my life, and that was a huge eye-opener for me. Where I was from, my family was the only believers of about a town of 3,000, and to get up to camp and see all these other believers, and they were my age, and we all had the same foundation, was just incredible. And I had no idea that there were so many Christians, so many believers out there, and that I could hang out with them. They were my age. We had a lot of fun together. And I had no idea that that was where I would meet my future bride. But the Lord used CMR in so many ways in my life. Besides meeting my wife at camp, it was also at camp that I decided to dedicate my life to the Lord. At 15 years old, I knew the Lord desired for me to follow Him wholly, and I had that same desire to do that. And then as the years went on, Brooke and I, we went to Bible college. We did a year there, and then we came back. We got married over the summer and then went back for another year of school. And then, as Brooke shared, we came back to Mesquite, and we kind of felt that was kind of it. We were going to settle in Mesquite. This is where we'd raise our family. We'd have our ministry here, and we made River Valley our home church. And for a few years after we got back from school, I kind of forgot about my commitment to the Lord, and I kind of just started living life the way I wanted to do it. It wasn't anything bad. I wasn't consulting the Lord for decisions, and just doing things my own way. I was definitely not one to volunteer here at church. You can ask Dave; he had a hard time getting me to do things here. And when asked to step up, I either was scared enough to say no, or I just made sure it was very, very low profile, and it didn't have to require a lot of myself. And fear of failure was really what choked me out from going ahead and stepping up and doing what the Lord was asking. And then Dave came along and decided that it was time to put me out of my comfort zone. And he asked me to teach a Sunday school lesson, just one. And only by God's power did I say yes. But I was scared to death. But I just thought, like, well, I just need to get it done and over with, and that will be it. And I did. I got it over with and thought, well, that was nice, but I don't necessarily think that that's for me. And I kind of just kept going along. But God had other plans. And as God started to show me more of himself and his faithfulness and started to bring me back around to the point where I was looking to him for direction and decisions, it was time for another test. And enter in Pastor Craig. And Pastor Craig thought that a little stretching on my part was necessary, and he asked if I would teach a whole series of Sunday school, at which I also agreed. And I don't think I'll ever forget, Pastor, your face when I said yes. You were quite shocked, and my wife was shocked as well, and I was shocked. I remember we got back out to the truck, and Brooke said, "Do you know what you just said yes to?" And I didn't quite, but I was prepared just to take that next step. And that point in my life really is where I look back and can say that's when I noticed things starting to change, when the Lord started to change me. And over the last year and a half, it's been the River Valley family that has just kept Brooke and I going along. The Lord, he used River Valley to just encourage us in all of our ups and our downs. He placed key people in our lives to give us that little extra courage or that little push to do more. For me, it was men like Dave. Dave that he wasn't much of a gentle pusher, as a more throw you into the heat of things and get it done. But Dave Neufeld, and he became one of my closest friends. But it was River Valley as a whole where you guys have just been incredible for us and just great. And then over the last year, as Brooke mentioned, we just felt that there was more for us. We felt the Lord leading us back to school. And now that is our next step. We're gearing up for it. In a couple of weeks, we'll move. And we don't know exactly what's after school. We would like to come back to River Valley, but we just don't know where the Lord's going to lead us. And we are going to just let him lead. We're stepping out in faith and just allowing the Lord to use and direct our lives. And we know that you guys will all be praying for us, and we sure appreciate it. And maybe we'll be back, but that's it for me.
Stories like that never get old. They're just wonderful to hear. Brooke and John have remembered the Lord's working in their life unto salvation and now into an adventure, a continued adventure. We have the opportunity to do some remembering ourselves this morning. And Communion Sunday is a day with the express purpose, really, of remembering. To remember what God did in sending his Son into the world. To remember what Christ accomplished in dying on the cross. To remember the day that you or I were called from death unto life. To remember the power that now lives in us as a result of that. And remember the glorious future that is now our inheritance. The rock pile has come up a lot this morning. John mentioned it in Sunday school. It was mentioned in both their testimonies. And this rock pile that everybody's talking about up at Cedar Mountain Retreat, it is a new tradition that has just begun. And it's based on what John had taught us as he did a study through Joshua. In Joshua chapter 3 and 4, we read about these rock piles that the Israelites erected. And we're told in those chapters that these piles were erected for the specific purpose of remembering.
Verses 6 and 7 of chapter 4 says that when your children, when they're walking along and they see these piles and they ask, well, what do these mean? You can tell them, these stones, this pile of rocks is a memorial of how God led us into the promised land, how he provided for us and how he keeps his promises. And again, we have this tradition up at Cedar Mountain Retreat. And the pile is there for the express reason of when people come into camp. It's right there by the front gate. And somebody might ask, well, what is that pile there for? What does that mean? And we can tell them, well, that's there because it symbolizes God's leading in our life, in my life. I have a rock in that pile, we can tell them. And we can express to them how the Lord has been working in our life. Well, I say all that to say this. The erecting of stones to remember is a very common thing. We have statues, we have busts, we have huge monuments, we have tombstones. But have you ever wondered why the memorial to Jesus Christ is not made of stone? But rather, bread and fruit of the vine. Have you ever wondered why we use these elements as a memorial of his flesh and blood? Well, again, we often erect stones for dead people so that we can remember their life. However, we have the bread and the wine. These elements represent the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. The life of Jesus and what he wanted us to specifically remember is not his life, but his death, his giving of his flesh and blood on our behalf. And just as a side note, appropriately enough, it is a stone rolled away from a tomb that is a memorial to his resurrected life. Well, he wants us, Jesus Christ, God wants us to remember that he was flesh and blood, but he willingly gave that life away so that we could have it eternally. Why did Jesus die on the cross? God's demand for eternal life. God's demand for anyone to be in the presence of him in heaven is perfection. We have to be as perfect as he is. However, as we can all attest to, man is not perfect, nor can he be perfect. Even one sin disqualifies us from making it to heaven. One sin disqualifies us from being in God's presence. And just to put things in perspective a little bit this morning, let's say God gave us a token, all right? In fact, we'll just say, let's say God gave us a dollar bill for every day of our life that we lived perfect. That is always doing the right thing at the right time. That is taking every opportunity to do good. No mistakes, no bad thoughts, no sin, period. That's the perfection that God expects, okay? And so at the end of our life, as God matched our dollar bills to the amount of days we lived, if we are even $1 short, we are disqualified. And know that if we mess up even one day, we can't say, well, I'll just go back and do more good tomorrow. Well, that won't work because we can't improve on perfect, right? A perfect day is a perfect day, and there's no improving on it. So that one mistake cost us everything. And the truth be known, we are born doomed because we are all born with a sin nature. So before we even could know a score was being kept, if there actually was one, okay, we've blown it. We've blown it. We are in debt already from birth. And if the truth be known, there is no such, as I've already mentioned, no such merit system in the Bible. I'm just illustrating the perfection that God expects here. All right? And if the truth be known, the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 3:10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all sinners eternally separated from the God of the universe. But God knew our problem. He knew that we are sinners and disqualified from being in His presence. So He sent His only begotten Son to live that perfect life and then die sin's death for us. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." In Romans 6:23, we learn that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we're told that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus took sin's penalty for us. He paid our debt. And in Mark 10:45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life a ransom, a payment for many." And through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, salvation from sin is now offered as a free gift to man. And in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "As many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." And in John 3:36, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." And these elements here this morning, these elements are the memorial of the life Jesus gave, the payment for our debt. This is a memorial of His death on the cross to pay the sin penalty on our behalf. It is a memorial of our receiving of that gift. And communion is an ordinance. It's a memorial that Jesus established for believers. So if you have never trusted in what Jesus Christ has done for you, you can place your faith in Him and what He did on the cross for you right now, and receive that gift. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard this. Maybe this is the first time you've ever understood it. Maybe this is the first time you've ever believed it. Salvation from sin, it's not automatic. One must personally and deliberately trust in Jesus Christ to receive that gift. And if you have not done so already, will you? Will you trust in what Jesus did for you on the cross? Will you allow Him to wash your sins away this morning? Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And if you have done that this morning, if you have trusted in Him in your heart this morning, Sunday, August 1st, 2010, is a day that you received salvation from the penalty of your sin. Heaven is now yours, and we invite you to partake in this memorial with those of us who have already trusted. If I could please have Tom, would you come up and help, please? And Dave, if you could please come up and help serve. As these elements are being passed out this morning, Let's reflect on that gift from God, His Son, Jesus Christ. Let us give thanks for Him. And let us examine ourselves, the Lord, and bring all of our sinful burdens to Him this morning. And when all have been served, we'll partake of this memorial together. Dave, if you could please pray over the bread, please.
Father, thank you for...